Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're taking a look at a book called Team Creator.
Ooh, Team Creator.
By Don Durrett.
That's right. So this book, it seems to be kind of exploring how to create a new type of spiritual community.
Right.
And that's what we're going to try to unpack today.
I think what's really interesting about this book is that it's almost like a foundational document for this community.
Yeah.
Like it really is trying to spell out the beliefs and the practices and how you would actually form this kind of a community.
Right. So let's jump into it right away with the prologue.
Okay.
Durrett kind of explains right away why he even wrote this book.
Yeah.
He says there was nothing out there like it. He actually did research. He looked on Amazon and Google and he said
it's due diligence.
He did his due diligence.
Yeah.
And he said there was nothing that really talked about how to create a new type of community like he envisioned.
So I wonder what he was searching for. What were his Google search terms?
Right, like how to start a spiritual community or how to, how to build a new society.
Right.
How to start my own cult. I don't know.
Right. That's probably not one of the search terms, but.
Probably not. Well, it takes a certain type of person to do that kind of research and then just say, well, I guess I'll just write the book myself.
Yeah, you know.
He's not shy about it either.
No, he's very bold.
He makes this claim that joining Team Creator will basically change your beliefs in your life.
Well, he says profoundly change your life.
Will profoundly change your life.
Yeah.
It's not just like joining a club. It's a
new way of being.
A new way of being.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the ambition doesn't even stop there. He talks about how this is going to like change the whole world.
Well, he says it's an idea whose time has come.
Yeah. It's an idea whose time has come.
So there's like an urgency.
Right.
It's like we need to do this now kind of a thing.
Right. And to kind of further underscore that urgency, he lays out this kind of future scenario that he thinks might be coming.
A little dystopian, maybe?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a warning.
He says governments are going to be going broke. People are going to be losing their jobs.
Well, consumer spending is going to go way down because governments will be out of money.
Right.
And so that'll lead to unemployment. He says at least 25% in a lot of urban areas.
It's not a pretty picture. He actually goes into some detail about what he thinks might happen.
Hmm.
He talks about the potential closure of like half the colleges.
Wow.
And a quarter of the primary schools.
That would be a huge shift in education.
Right. People would be forced to go to homeschooling or online education or something like that.
A lot of teachers would be out of work.
And it's not just education. He talks about infrastructure, degrading hospitals, being understaffed.
Even police forces stretched thin.
So all these like essential services really starting to break down.
It sounds like a world where people would be looking for alternatives.
Yeah.
Looking for a different way of living and maybe different belief systems.
Right.
So that's the context that he's setting up for this book.
Right. This backdrop of things are going to be getting bad and you might want to consider this.
Yeah. It's a bit of a sales pitch.
It is a little bit of a sales pitch.
Okay.
So let's go to chapter one. It's called Gypsy Land.
Oh, an interesting title.
Yeah, we meet some of the characters.
Okay.
We meet Tony and his daughter, Sarah. And then we also meet Steve and Steve's wife, Kate.
Okay.
And right away, Durrett kind of lets us know what these people are about.
Gives us their background.
He calls them newagers and lightworkers.
Right.
With metaphysical beliefs. So those are a lot of buzzwords.
They are. It might be helpful to define those a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, New Age usually refers to people who are into like spirituality.
Right.
But not really traditional religions.
Yeah, outside the mainstream.
Outside the mainstream lightworkers. I think that that term kind of implies that they believe they have this mission to like help the world or something.
Right. They're here to do good.
They're here to do good.
Spread positive.
And metaphysical beliefs. I think that kind of gets into...
It's a broad term.
It's a very broad term.
It could be anything from energy healing to reincarnation to...
Right, crystals.
Crystals.
Exactly. Oh. Astrology.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And their lifestyle kind of reflects that too.
Yeah. How so?
Well, they eat all organic food.
Okay.
They're vegetarian or vegan.
Dedicated to that lifestyle.
Yeah. And they don't eat any processed food.
So very health conscious.
Very health conscious.
Yeah.
Very natural.
Yeah.
And their houses even reflect this. They've got like ecology and nature themes.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
In their decor and they're reading like metaphysical books.
Of course.
And you can't forget the crystals and the incense.
Right. Gotta have those.
You gotta have those. So you can really picture these people.
Yeah. He's painting a very clear picture.
Yeah. And with that kind of mindset, it's not surprising that Sarah gets really interested in this community called Team Creator.
Oh, so that's where the title of the book comes from.
That's where the title comes from. And it's located in Cortez, Colorado. And it turns out that her father and Steve actually know one of the founders of this community.
Oh, so there's a personal connection.
Yeah, a guy named John Randall.
Oh, okay.
So that probably makes it even more appealing to Sarah.
Oh, of course. You know someone who's involved.
Yeah, I trust these people. So it becomes this big topic of conversation between both families.
Oh, I can imagine.
Should we move to Cortez? Should we not move to Cortez?
Big decision.
And Sarah really wants to move because of this healing center that Team Creator has.
Okay.
Because she says she has these amazing healing abilities.
Interesting. So she feels drawn to this community because of her own skills.
Right. She wants to help people.
Right.
And Steve and Kate are also on board with moving.
They're ready for a change.
They're ready for a change. They want to be part of this.
Yeah.
Tony seems to be a little more hesitant.
He's not so sure.
He's not so sure. But eventually he comes around.
Well, they convince him.
Yeah. Everybody else wants to go, and he's not really happy with California anymore. He says, okay, let's go. So before they even arrive, Durrett tells us about this hand prayer.
A hand prayer? What is that?
The Team Creator promotes on their website.
Okay.
And it's for spreading the light.
Interesting.
But he emphasizes that you can interpret it however you want.
So there's some flexibility?
Yeah.
It's not a rigid ritual?
Not rigid. Yeah. Okay, so he explains what each finger symbolizes.
Okay.
And I thought this was really interesting.
Yeah.
So like the thumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about allegiance.
Okay.
Like, where does your allegiance lie?
Interesting.
Is it with your ego?
Yeah.
Or is it with your soul and with, like, humanity as a whole?
So it's about choosing where you focus your energy.
Right. And right away, we see this theme in the book of, like,
yeah.
Selfishness versus selflessness.
Right.
Right.
That seems to be a key tension.
Yeah. Okay, what about the index finger?
What's that all about?
Well, that one's about how other people perceive you.
Okay.
So, like, are you selfish or selfless?
Uh-huh.
Are you an egotist or are you egoless?
Whoa.
Are you prideful or are you grateful?
So it's like a self-reflection tool.
It is a self-reflection tool.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of a checklist for how you're showing up in the world.
Exactly. It's like a daily reminder
to
think about those things. So their drive to Cortez takes 2 days.
Okay.
And Durrett's pretty specific about when they arrive. He says early October.
Mm.
And he mentions how beautiful Southwest Colorado is with the leaves changing colors.
So he's setting the scene.
He's setting the scene. Yeah. It's like you can almost see it.
Yeah.
During the drive, they're talking about what they each plan to do.
Okay.
When they get there.
So they're making plans already.
Yeah. So Sarah, she wants to work as a healer, obviously.
Of course.
Okay. She's a jewelry artist.
Yeah.
And she wants to maybe connect with the other artists and sell her stuff online.
Yeah.
Tony's wife, Terry.
Yeah.
She wants to grow food and work in the gardens.
Okay.
Tony, he's a handyman. And he's planning to volunteer his time and skills.
Very practical.
Yeah. And then there's Steve, who's like the tech guy. And he's thinking about maybe starting a small app development company or something.
See, they got a variety of skills.
Yeah, it's like a whole little crew.
It's like a little pioneer family.
Yeah. And as they get closer to their destination, we see that there's actually two communities.
Two separate communities.
Yeah, Team Creator and Gypsyland.
Okay.
And they have separate entrances.
Oh, so they're physically distinct.
Yeah, Team Creator's to the left down this dirt road. And then they turn right into Gypsyland, which has this elaborate entrance gate.
Interesting. So even the entrances kind of give you a different vibe.
Yeah, one's more secluded. The other one's more like, look at us.
Right.
So when they first arrive in Gypsyland, they meet this guy named Josh.
Okay.
And he kind of gives them the rundown of the rules.
Orientation time.
Yeah. But he's like, the rules are mostly common sense.
Okay.
He's like, we're just trying to have peace and harmony here.
Makes sense.
And he makes this interesting comparison to Team Creator.
Oh, how so?
He's like, they actually live by a written constitution.
Oh, wow. So they're more formal.
More formal.
More structured.
Yeah. And Sarah's reaction to that is interesting. She's like, it's not so bad I could live there.
Oh, so she's open to the idea.
She's open to the idea of a constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next morning, they have a formal orientation with
these
two women, Jane and Sue.
All right.
And we learn that Gypsyland is like 100 acres.
Wow.
And there's about 200 people living there.
Okay.
But they want to get to 300.
So they're still growing.
Still growing.
Mm.
And they really emphasize this family atmosphere.
Okay. So it's all about close connections.
Yeah. Close connections.
Very communal.
Yeah. But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
They say that everything in Gypsyland is free.
Free. How does that work?
Once you're in, there's no money exchanged.
Wow.
There's no taxes.
Okay.
There's no fees for residents.
So how do they fund everything?
Well, they say they get money from member donations.
Okay.
And also from the income from their farm.
They have a farm?
They have a farm.
Yeah.
And apparently they have about $1 million in their bank accounts right now.
Wow. So they're doing okay.
They're doing okay.
Yeah.
And they're expecting a big donation from Tony once his house sells in California.
Right. So they're bringing in money from the outside.
They are.
Yeah.
But once you're in, it's all free.
Mm.
Except for a few things.
Okay. What are the exceptions?
Well, personal cell phones, computers,
Okay.
anything you want to buy for yourself.
So like personal items?
Personal items.
That makes sense.
You got to pay for that yourself. They do provide free 5G Wi-Fi, though.
That's nice. A modern convenience.
Yeah. And you can have your own car.
Yeah.
But you got to pay for the gas and the maintenance and all that.
Okay, so you're responsible for your own vehicle.
Yeah. And if you want to borrow something from the community, like tools or whatever, they have an intranet website where you can do that.
Oh, so it's all organized,
Very organized.
even though it's free.
Yeah. So they have a central cafeteria,
Okay.
laundry room with showers and bathrooms,
Makes sense.
an entertainment room with TVs and computers.
All the essentials.
Yeah. And they even vote on what they want to watch on TV.
Oh, that's interesting. Democratic decision making.
Yeah. And if you have a problem with something, you can put it in this problem box
Yeah.
and nobody will know who said it.
Anonymous feedback.
Yeah. The welcoming building at the entrance has this texting doorbell system.
Oh, that's high tech.
Yeah. So when somebody comes to visit or there's a delivery or something, volunteers get a text and they can come and help.
So it's all volunteer based?
It is. For infrastructure, they have two water wells,
Okay.
one for the farm and one for everything else.
Makes sense.
And they have two big water tanks. And they get most of their electricity from solar and wind power.
Sustainable.
Yeah. They have backup batteries too that can last for a week.
In case of emergency?
Just in case.
Wow. They're really prepared.
They're prepared.
It sounds like they put a lot of thought into this.
Yeah. And the farm is a big deal.
Okay.
They're actually in competition with Team Creator.
Oh, really? A friendly
Friends.
rivalry?
A friendly rivalry for who can grow the best produce.
Okay, so they're connected in that way too.
They are. Socially, they have an open invitation to Team Creator's Saturday Night Band and Dance.
Oh, so there's some interaction between the communities.
Yeah. And they also have music and stuff happening in Gypsy Land too.
So there's a lot of social activity.
Yeah, a lot of community building going on.
Sounds pretty lively.
Yeah. Okay, so Sarah, she's still curious about this hand prayer thing.
Right.
And she asks Jane and Sue about it. And they say, well, Team Creator recommends it, but we don't really do it here.
Interesting. So there's a difference in practice.
Yeah. They think that if you just live by God's virtues,
Yeah.
it becomes like a habit.
Okay.
And you don't really need a special prayer for it.
So it's more about embodying the principles.
Yeah. They say all the joy and love in the community, that's enough to spread the light.
Okay, so they have a different approach.
They do. And then Kate, she notices that. Team Creator seems a little different. And Jane kind of confirms that. She's like, yeah, they have more reverence.
Reverend.
They're a bit more evolved.
So there's a hierarchy.
There's a hierarchy.
They see team creators being further along.
Right. Steve, he's always the practical one. And he's like, what about guns?
Oh, a valid question.
Because you never know, right?
Yeah.
And Sue's like, oh, yeah, both communities have militias for protection against outside threats.
So they're prepared.
They're prepared.
Wow.
And if you want to join, you can find information on their websites.
They have websites.
They do. So Team Creator has this blog where they announce stuff like job openings and events.
Okay.
And Gypsy Land has its own social media platform.
What, like their own Facebook?
Yeah, it's like a mini Facebook that they call My Community.
Okay.
But get this, the teenagers from Team Creator actually created it for them.
Oh, wow. So they collaborate.
They collaborate.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they even help new residents get online and set up their accounts and stuff.
Very helpful.
Yeah, Steve's always thinking about business. And he's like, can I start my own business here?
Oh, an entrepreneur.
And Jane's like, yeah, you can. As long as the community gets some of the profits.
Oh, so there's a catch.
Yeah, they recommend giving like 10%.
Okay, so they share the wealth.
Yeah, it's all about the community good.
Right.
Okay, so let's move on to chapter two, which is called Team Creator.
Okay, we're finally getting to the heart of it.
Right, so Team Creator is also on 100 acres.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just outside Cortez, and you got to take this dirt road to get there.
So it's more remote.
Yeah, more secluded. And there's 300 people living there now.
Okay.
Most of them are in trailers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's these 12 smaller houses for the original members.
Oh, so there's like an inner circle.
Yeah, and those houses are all clustered around the main buildings.
Interesting. So the founders have a special place.
Yeah, so it all started back in 2017 with this guy, John Randall.
This is the founder we heard about before.
Yeah, the one Tony and Steve know.
Right.
So he had this idea.
Yeah.
And he was specifically targeting the New Age community with it.
Okay, so he was speaking to a specific audience.
Yeah. And his idea was basically that there's this global spiritual transformation happening.
Okay.
And the creator needs help.
The creator needs help.
Yeah, like the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
God, whatever you want to call it.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, that's where the name Team Creator comes from.
Right? Like we're all on the same team.
Yeah, we're all working together. And the way you join the team is by spreading the light.
Spreading the light. We've heard that phrase before.
Yeah. And they define that as living by God's virtues.
Okay.
And being an example to others.
So it's about how you live your life?
It's all about your actions.
Right.
And that's the main requirement for joining.
Okay, so it's not just about believing certain things.
No, it's about doing.
It's about action.
Yeah. Now, they do have this belief system, too.
Okay, tell me about it.
They believe in light and dark energies, but they don't see them as, like, good or bad.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's just, like, different aspects of existence.
Okay.
And they believe in God, but they say God is non-judgmental.
Okay, so a loving God.
Yeah, and God is all that is.
Everything.
Everything.
All-encompassing.
Yeah. And God's essence is love and perfection.
Okay.
And here's the key part. They also believe that love and perfection are inside of humanity.
So we have that potential within us.
We do.
We're all divine in a way.
We're all part of the divine.
Interesting.
Yeah. So their mission is to help reduce the darkness.
Yeah.
And increase the light in the world.
Okay. So they're actively trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah. It's not just about themselves. It's about everyone.
Right. That's a big goal.
It is. Now, Durrett compares them to devout Christians.
Okay.
But he points out some key differences.
Like what?
Well, Team Creator, they're not afraid of God.
Oh, that's interesting.
They believe they're one with God.
Okay.
So there's no fear of judgment or punishment or anything like that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And because of that, they don't believe in the concept of judgment at all.
No judgment.
Everybody is part of God.
So everyone is accepted.
Everyone is accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very different mindset from like traditional Christianity.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how does this all play out in their daily lives?
Well, they have a lot of freedom in how they live.
Okay.
As long as they're living virtuously.
Virtuous meaning?
Aligning with God's love and perfection.
Okay, so their actions have to reflect their beliefs.
Yeah. They don't believe in, like, excessive self-interest.
Yeah.
But they also don't think you should deny yourself the pleasures of life.
Oh, that's interesting.
They think enjoying life is a good thing.
Okay.
As long as it's aligned with virtue.
So it's a balance.
It's a balance.
Yeah.
Not too strict.
Not too strict. Not like a monastery or anything.
Right.
But they do have this expectation that you should share your joy and live with gratitude and always have a smile.
Always smiling. Sounds pretty happy.
Yeah. Very positive. And love is very important to them.
Okay.
Love for yourself, love for God, love for humanity.
It's a lot of love.
Yeah. It's all about love.
Okay, now what about this idea of oneness? Well, they take that very seriously. They believe that everybody is part of this one big consciousness.
One consciousness.
Yeah, and that consciousness is part of the creator.
So we're all connected.
We're all connected, yeah.
To each other and to God.
And they say nothing exists outside of this consciousness.
Wow. So there's nothing else.
Nothing else.
That's a pretty profound belief.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also believe in reincarnation.
Okay, so the soul is eternal.
The soul is eternal, and it keeps coming back into human bodies. And each soul is on its own journey of spiritual evolution.
Okay, so we're all at different levels.
Different levels.
Different speeds.
And we're all learning and growing.
Right, and because of that, they're very compassionate and non-judgmental.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because everybody's on their own path. And all those paths eventually lead to enlightenment.
Enlightenment?
Yeah, they call it becoming an ascended master or an avatar.
Interesting terms.
Yeah, it's like reaching your full potential.
Right.
And they see everyone as like a piece of God that's evolving and learning. So everyone is worthy of respect.
Everyone is worthy of respect.
Yeah.
And they really focus on cultivating virtues.
Like what kind of virtues?
Things like peace, love, freedom, gratitude, compassion.
Okay, all the good stuff.
Yeah. And they see that as the path to getting closer to God, to the core of love.
So it's about aligning yourself with those qualities.
Yeah, it's like vibrating in truth.
Interesting metaphor.
Now, unlike traditional religions, they don't have a church or a set of doctrines.
Okay, so it's more individualized.
Yeah, they think spirituality is a personal thing.
You find your own path.
You find your own path. they encourage you to seek guidance from people who are more evolved.
Okay, so there's still some hierarchy.
There is some hierarchy.
Yeah.
But they really emphasize finding your own truths by following your soul.
So it's very inner-directed.
Yeah. They believe the answers are within you.
Okay, now, how does this community actually govern itself?
Well, they have a constitution.
A constitution?
Yeah. And it's based on this book called Post-America, A New Constitution.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah. But here's the interesting part. They make laws by randomly selecting volunteer committees.
Randomly selected?
Mm, yeah.
That's unusual.
And those committees only serve for a year.
Oh, so it's constantly changing.
It's constantly changing.
Yeah.
And the idea is that that prevents any one group from getting too much power.
Okay. Checks and balances.
Checks and balances. Mm. Yeah. So economically, they don't have any taxes.
No taxes. How do they manage that?
Well, they had this big endowment when they started.
Okay.
And they get a lot of donations. And a lot of the members actually have jobs and businesses.
Oh, so they're not all just living off the land.
No. They have artists,
yeah,
musicians, people with all kinds of skills.
So they contribute financially.
They do.
Interesting.
And inside the community, they don't use money at all.
No money exchange.
No. The cafeteria is free.
Okay.
If you need something, you order it online and they deliver it.
Wow, that's convenient.
And they have community vehicles that you can use to go into town.
So they share resources.
Yeah. All about sharing.
Okay. So they have a farm. We know that.
Yeah. What else do they have in terms of facilities?
Well, they have a farm with greenhouses.
Okay.
Which supplies the cafeteria with fresh food.
So they're self-sufficient.
To a degree.
Right.
Yeah. And they have a juice bar.
Oh, that's healthy.
Very healthy.
Yeah.
And their central building, they have the cafeteria, obviously.
Yeah.
They have a healing center.
A healing center.
Yeah. Where they do all kinds of holistic treatments,
uh-huh,
energy healing and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And they have a yoga and exercise center.
So they're into fitness.
Yeah. They have communal showers.